And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Richard Battle with us now. Again, author of Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Richard, welcome. How are you this week?
John, good afternoon. We're doing great, and thank you so much for having me again.
As always, thank you for joining us. I do appreciate it. Today has been Inauguration Day. 46th President of the United States inaugurated today. Some folks are joyous. Some folks are very down in the dumps. I, Richard, I guess maybe I'm in the middle. I'm definitely not happy, but I'm not sad either. I mean, I just look at it as it's another day. Changes are coming, and we'll have to deal with those changes.
Well, it is a change, and despite of what we think, we'll have to deal with it, and that's our choice, because we will go through ups and downs in life, and our choices on how we deal with it are what's most important, more so than that change.
Well said. I talked a little bit about that in the beginning of the show, the top of the 3 o'clock hour here, you know, Mountain Time, Richard, and really discussed exactly what you just said. And you know, as much as I know people are upset and distraught, I, for one, have never and will never place my validation in the President of the United States and who sits in that chair. I think it's important. I vote. I do my part. I mean, I do the show daily. I do whatever I possibly can to get who I feel is the best choice elected. But at the end of the day, I'm not basing my whole net worth value-wise on who's president.
Well, we can't. As I look back on my life, I suffered my greatest financial devastation during my favorite presidencies of Ronald Reagan. Mm. And I had some of my greatest successes during presidencies of people that I did not vote for and
Correct.
Did not support and didn't like anything they did.
Correct.
But was able to have successes during those times. So how we respond and go forward is what's most important.
Boy, what you just said is so true. And again, we can't base our value on a political party, period, Richard, and definitely can't base it upon you know, the President of the United States or any other elected official for that matter. And I think you brought up a great point a moment ago, too. You know, how we deal with things, how we look at things, and so on. It doesn't really matter who's president. We can succeed in bad times, or we can fail in good times.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that there's certainly evidence that's been unveiled that both parties are more common from the standpoint of being members of the swamp and being of the
yes.
ruling class versus
yes.
the country class, as
yes.
Cote Avila wrote about so many years ago. And we out here are the country class, and we have to learn how to deal and make them accountable to us and remind them they work for us and not the other way around.
Boy, that is exactly right. And, you know, when you look at it that way, you know, it doesn't I guess, Rich, I mean, you've been an employer like myself, and I know this is maybe a little bit of a stretch when it comes to this description, but, you know, as my company grew, that's probably the best way for me to say it, as my company grew and you delegate tasks off to other individuals when it comes to hiring and firing, I will tell you, Richard, that there were some hires along the way that I probably wasn't the biggest fan of, but because I was, you know, head of the company, you just continue to, you know, rely on the people that are underneath you, and you live with it, and you deal with it, and you move forward. Even though I wasn't for that hire or wasn't in charge of that hire, you still made the best of it when it was all said and done. I kind of feel like this is the same way. This is not my hire as president, because I do think the president works for me and works for us. It's somebody else's hire that I still have to put up with.
Absolutely, and you just invoke some post-traumatic stress syndrome in me from some of the past experiences I had. But you're correct that as we go up in an organization and we have to allow people below us make decisions, they don't always make the decisions we would make, but we have to let them do that to grow and prepare them for future leadership opportunities.
Yeah, because without that, they don't grow. I realize this is a little bit different, and voting is a little different than, you know, strictly going out and hiring a particular, you know, individual for a company. But I think folks get the presidency, and really all elected officials in this great United States of America wrong, Richard. They do all work for us. This is the type of a republic that we have. I don't work for them. They work for me. I pay their salary, and I expect certain things from them. Now, in this particular case, a different section of the country, if you would, voted for them. I didn't. Again, I have to now deal with the repercussions of that best I can. But as business, you know, businessmen and businesswomen, Richard, that's what we will have to do, and we'll move forward accordingly.
Well, absolutely, and we will need to stay involved. We will need to work from the ground level up, making sure every person knows they're being watched, and make sure we communicate what our desires are for their actions,
right,
so it affects our personal life, our family life, and our business life in the best way possible.
Well said. And Richard, I know that you like myself. I mean, there's been lots of defeat in both of our lives. I appreciate you joining us. You've had divorce, 2 heart procedures, a cancer diagnosis, all in a 10-month period, and yet still overcame that, and it's why you are who you are today.
Well, I was so grateful that the man up above helped me. And when I wrote the book, Unwelcome Opportunity, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, about that experience, that was a book praising him. I was so grateful to get through that. And one of the things that I discovered was our direction that we choose. We can't grow, move forward, help anybody else unless we have a positive attitude in how we approach it. And I looked and I was thinking of Betty White, who turned 99 years old, mm-hmm. her bubbly, positive personality. And I got to thinking, how many old, grouchy people do we know? Not very many grouchy people live old, ripe ages.
Right.
But more optimistic people live much longer and happier lives. And so it's important for us to try to be as happy as possible, regardless of our circumstances.
Yep. No, that is well said, Richard. And as always, I want you to give us an example out of the book. Again, great book. Those of you that are out there that need a pick-me-up and need some encouragement, outside of Scripture itself, this is a great inspirational book, Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times. Give us an example out of the book, Richard.
Well, since we talked about business life today, one of the things that I had experienced after I left being a corporate executive and going full-time into writing and speaking was people pigeonholed me based on their perception of me, based on my relationship with them. And I discovered that I was more than they thought I was, and I continue to try to be more than people think I am. And I have a friend who is a framing contractor, a man's man, construction business for 20-something years, decided he wanted to serve people in a different capacity. And he went back to school and became a nurse. And he serves people every day now in hospitals because of his heart. And he didn't allow people questioning him, what are you doing leaving contracting and becoming a nurse? And all the obstacles he had to do to seek and chase his dream of serving people in a different capacity. And he is now a success in that area because of his perseverance and overcoming all those challenges. And so I encourage people, if you're thinking of doing something differently, don't let people pigeonhole you and keep you back from chasing your dream.
Well said, Richard. It's always a joy having you. And again, how we navigate these next few years. And again, folks, I want to remind all of you that, hey, you know, waves, tides, they come, they go. And I don't know what's in store, Richard, for our country in the next 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. I don't know, Richard. All I know is that I have to do my part to do what I need to do inside of my own life, my own world, my own family, my own business. I've got to lead in a way where, you know, I plan for the future, but handle everything day to day. And that's all I can do. I don't know any other way to do it. And I also know, Richard, that getting down, feeling sorry for ourselves and having the woe is me because there's a new president in isn't going to help me achieve anything.
That is absolutely the case. And if we're not happy today, we've been knocked down. And our challenge is to get back up this afternoon and keep going. And if we get knocked down tomorrow, we get back up and keep going
right.
again. and we get back up one more time, then we're knocked down in our lives.
Well done. Richard, I always enjoy having you. It's great. I look forward to it each and every week. I mean that sincerely. And I hope someday we can meet face-to-face. I really mean that.
That would be fantastic, and we appreciate being on with you, and we say God bless America.
God bless America, Richard. Thank you very much again. Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense and Uncommon Times. I enjoy having Richard on. He's very inspirational and has overcome lots of things in his own life, and really just has the ability to encourage us in a time where I know folks are discouraged, but there is hope, folks. Trust me, there is hope. So we'll talk to Scott Garlis in a moment, Stansberry Research. In the meantime, though, RoofMax, Dave Hart, by the way, great guy. I love talking to Dave as well. You talk about somebody that is upbeat, hard worker, understands the roofing world, understands your roof, what you need. And RoofMax is a product whereby he can extend the life of your roof. And I know a lot of folks think, well, roofing, got to wait till it's warmer, got to do it in the summertime or the springtime. The reality is a day like today was absolutely beautiful out, and Dave could be handling your roof needs right now. It's really that easy. Have him out. Have a free roof inspection done. He can explain how his process works. It's really that simple. 303-710-6916. That's RoofMax. Call Dave today, 303-710-6916.
RoofMax in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with Roof Rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof Rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. He'll join us tomorrow afternoon. Get a full rundown on the real estate market, the mortgage world, what's happening there. In the meantime, any questions you have, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, "Those who prepare shall not fear." KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
Welcome back, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Scott Garlis joining us now, Stansberry Research. Scott, it's a new day as far as the president in the United States of America. It will mean some changes as we move forward. In fact, some things were even signed today by the new president that will most likely have an impact economically on a lot of folks listening. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's correct. One of the very interesting ones that I was watching and they were anticipating was the Keystone XL pipeline.
Right.
That was one of the first executive orders that Biden signed, basically revoking the permits that it was given. The concern there is, the job loss from people putting it in the ground. Obviously, the intent of that thing is to get oil down from Canada
right.
to Texas, basically where it can easily be shipped out. The question now is this the first in a bigger step of policies moving in more of a green direction? Is he going to limit drilling more? Is he going to? One of the original conversations you and I had was about what would happen if he stopped fracking. And where he would really stop fracking is on federal lands. Now, a fracking ban could cost the Chamber of Commerce, we talked about this at the time, estimated it could cost as many as 19 million American jobs over a five-year period. That's a lot.
It is, and as I just looked, I was checking as you were speaking, because I hadn't done this yet, but it looks like about 300 miles of the pipeline have been built so far. So I don't know where that leaves things at that point. The other interesting thing about that, Scott, that I'm a little curious about is, you know, we try to keep our relationship with the country to the north, you know, pretty open and pretty good. And I think that it would be in Biden's best interest to do so. Trudeau has said he's in favor of the pipeline because, of course, it helps them, you know, move their natural resources out of the country and make money on those resources. Do you think there'll be any conversation between Biden and Trudeau on that decision?
I would be shocked if there wasn't. I think one of the big things that the Biden camp is pushing is they're saying, hey, look, we've damaged all these relationships the U.S. has had all over the world because they're saying the former administration has been America first. So, you know, if they really feel that way, it would be really foolish to tell everybody that and then to go out and just blow off Canada right off the bat. That wouldn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't know whether this is just a big, you know, PR move and, you know, get some of the monkeys off of his back, you know, immediately where, you know, he's got some, you know, every president, let's face it, has a little payola they have to do on the first few days in office, and you wonder if that isn't what this is. I just, to me, Scott, I could be completely, you know, backwards here, but I know they'll have a conversation, but I've got to believe Trudeau will put some pressure on the Biden administration to get that thing back up and going again.
You would think so, and I think some of the areas of leverage, like Trudeau would have to pull, is we've had a big lumber fight going on.
Right.
And once housing has taken off, lumber prices here have shot way up because we don't have access to that supply. You know, I would think that's one of the things that Trudeau could use as a bargaining chip, saying, hey, you know, if you want to open the doors back up to all this great lumber we have, we need to have a conversation about this and reach some sort of agreement. One of the interesting things now, if you want to look at it from a Wall Street market perspective, what's going on in oil, you can look at it this way, is that means less oil supply is coming to the United States. So if there's less oil supply and we're having all these vaccinations take place and our economy starts to become more active, say late spring, early summer, that means people are going to drive more. They're going to fly more. They're going to do a lot of things, and that's going to create more demand for gasoline fuel that's made out of petroleum. So what that's going to do, or made out of oil, and so what that is going to do is that's going to drive prices higher. And you know, we've talked in the past about inflation. There's inflation for you. One of the stats I didn't mention last time I wanted to was when Obama took office in 2009, from inauguration day to the 28th of April 2011, almost 2.5 years later, oil prices went up by 190%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big move. That
right.
affects people's pocketbooks.
I think if the, again, and I do this on a daily basis, so I will, you know, I will go out there and say a few things, and I realize some may disagree with me on this, Scott, but I think if the Democrats and, you know, Biden, and really at this point is the head of them, if they want to retain seats and or even try to win more in both the House and the Senate in 2022, you can't have $4 a gallon gasoline, or they're most likely going to lose some of those if they do that.
Correct. And what you said earlier, I feel the same way, and I'm hoping this is the case. I'm hoping this is pandering to some of the people, some of the parties that have really clamored for this stuff and threw their support behind it. And sort of you do this up front, and then it kind of dies down a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, you make some backdoor deals. And like you said a moment ago, you know, the thing that I do see a Biden coming out and doing is saying, well, you know, we had to kind of make an agreement with Canada, and we need lumber in this country. We've got an economy that's booming. You know, we've got to have materials. We need to keep the cost of those construction projects, you know, down, even the infrastructure projects we're going to propose in some of these rounds of stimulus. You know, we need that lumber. We need the ability to do those things. And for us to get a better deal on that trade agreement, you know, we had to let Canada continue with their pipeline. I could see something like that happening. Will it? I don't know.
Yep. I'm with you there.
And again, I don't know. You and I don't have a crystal ball. It's interesting, though, that this is what's strange to me. This is where I wanted your help today. When I look at, and everybody knew this was coming, but when I look at, you know, prices today of oil, you know, they're up a little teeny bit from yesterday, but it's not substantial. I would have thought, everybody knowing that XL shutdown was coming, that prices would have shot up, you know, would have shot up even, you know, $5, $6 a barrel, but they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't, because people were anticipating this, so a lot of it's probably priced in already. And then sort of you get an extra push because, okay, he did this, let's see what else happens. Let's see if there's more of this. But yeah, again, it was expected. I mean, if you look at back when the market crashed in March, there's an ETF called the USO, and they trade in oil contracts. I mean, the supply situation got so bad because of what was going on with the economic shutdowns, oil contracts settled sub-zero.
Yeah, I saw. I remember the day I watched it. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing that oil was trading, you know, negative. I mean, people were paying people to get rid of oil because there was so much supply. I don't know that I've ever seen that, Scott.
Because you haven't, and now look at where oil prices are. It's interesting. So, you know, I mean, oil companies stand to benefit the most from this. And it'll be interesting to see the way this plays out.
I want to stop you there. I'm glad you said that. I could see some companies in, you know, the Permian Basin, you know, South Dakota, even here in Colorado, where, you know, we don't have the exploration we used to, but, you know, oil is still pumped here. I can see companies locally saying, you know, we don't need that Canadian oil because we'd like to see ours at 65 or 70 a barrel. You know, there's always that, you know, pro and con, and somebody's cheering when somebody else is disappointed.
Yeah, totally. And what's interesting about this is a lot of these companies, their debt is priced for like $30 or $40 a barrel of oil, maybe $50 a barrel of oil. So there has to also be a level where they can get it out of the ground and they can pay off the debt for the money they borrowed.
Correct.
To get their business going. So this could actually be a good thing for a bunch of oil companies if we see prices go a bit higher.
Yep. You know, can't argue that at all.
Sorry?
No, I think you're spot on. I agree with that.
The other interesting thing that we, I'm really paying attention to from this. So the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank have really been pushing for this this global infrastructure build out for more access to technology, because it can educate your workforce all over the place smarter. And it goes right along with sort of the green infrastructure push. And so that's what we're seeing, you know, potentially coming down the pike from the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. If that winds up being the case and we see more of a push there, you know, there could be some job growth there, people building out, you know, all the pipelines to lay all the cables in. But the big industry that I think is going to benefit more is the semiconductor industry.
Yes.
Because so much of what they do goes into all that technology.
Good point.
And what's really interesting to me is, you know, we recently, I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but Ford recently shut down one of its auto factories.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
There's so much demand for semiconductors.
They don't have enough to get the cars built. No, there's lots and lots of F-150s. I mean lots as in space lots where vehicles are stored. There is lot upon lot upon lot of F-150s because they can't complete them right now.
And so Taiwan is one of the big – Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, they produce like 48% of the world's semiconductors. Mm. So the tiny island nation of Taiwan is a really important hub in the technology industry because of all the semiconductors they ship. They just put out their economic data, their export data last night, and they had record monthly numbers. It was off the top of my head, I can't remember, but it was like – $560 billion, and they forecast that January is going to be, I'm sorry, it was like $60 billion for the month. It was like $560 billion for the year. It was the best year and the best month they've ever had. Hmm. It was all driven by semiconductor demand. And they forecast January is going to be even stronger.
Wow.
By almost 10 percentage points.
Wow, amazing. Scott, it's always great to talk to you. How do folks find out more about you?
Yeah, please check out stansberryinvestor.com. You can sign up for our free stuff. You can check out our paid stuff. You know, we're there to help the little guy through all this.
Perfect. Good stuff. Scott, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
John, I look forward to it. Thanks for your time.
You're very welcome. Appreciate it very much. All right, Purify Chevrolet is next. And at Purify Chevrolet, they want to help you, as we just talked about a moment ago, with all of your vehicle purchase needs. New or used, they've got you covered. It's really simple. Just go to purifychevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
You know, when I go into Purifoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purifoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purifoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purifoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, as we just talked to Scott Stansberry, or at Stansberry, I should say. Talk to Al. He'll help you with all of your financial planning needs. He's an advisor, 303-744-1128, or find Al at klzradio.com.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now, estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Kevin Flesch joining us now. Will be with us through the all the way to 6 o'clock. We will do our legal hour and a half, I guess you could call it, basically legal day here at Rush to Reason. So welcome, Kev.
Thank you very much. We always have like an hour, and then we end up having more stuff
know,
to talk
so this
about.
Is good.
So I came in a little early.
Especially today with kind of everything going on in the world, I thought Kevin could come in and really advise us on a few things. But before we get into some of the things I had, you know, on my plate of things to ask and cover, you just did a virtual trial.
Yes.
How does that work?
So it's very interesting how it works. So you have your witnesses all set up, and so this was in Denver District Court,
okay.
And jury trials aren't going on right now.
Right.
So most of the counties aren't going to start jury trials until the middle of February, maybe the end of February or March. And a lot of them are going to start with the smaller jury trials.
So real quick, what's the backlog like? So if you're somebody that is, I'll just say it as it is. I've got a listener that's struggling with a particular vehicle situation, probably will end up going to court. It's a situation where somebody did a repair and it's totally botched and wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's a sizable amount. I mean, it's an engine deal where it gets very expensive. So it's going to be over the amount of
county
small,
courts.
Yeah, it's
going to
be over the small claims court end of things. So if this person eventually wants to get a full jury trial to get this, you know, handled, how long are they looking at?
This week I set a case that just became at issue. So we filed suit and had it served and did all the things we needed to do in end of November, beginning of December. It's at issue now. We had a case management conference where you set jury trials in Arapahoe County. I set the jury trial yesterday for March 2022.
So a year, a little over a year.
14 months.
Wow.
And I think at that point we may have a chance of going. But right now the backlog is tremendous relating to civil cases. Boulder isn't hearing civil cases, jury trials for civil cases until July. They're not scheduling anything until then. Other counties are beginning to do that same sort of thing. Some counties are trying to save civil cases now that they're going to try to do one a week, one a month. They generally have 2 weeks a month.
So are they prioritizing some of those in regard to... And I know everybody's case, they think theirs is, you know, should be the top of the list. But you and I both know there's priority in some of these
yep.
and how they work.
Yeah, the priority is going to be the folks that are in custody.
Right.
So criminal cases, in custody criminal cases are going to go first. There's a sort of a pecking order relating to those.
Okay.
The capital cases, murder, significant sort of crimes, sex assaults. Child sex
unfortunately,
assaults.
The one I just mentioned probably is really low on the priority list.
Very low.
That's what I figured.
Because it's a property damage claim.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And it's not a personal injury claim. You're still dealing with money, but when we look at...
it's not the same, right?
Yeah, when we look at significant cases in regards to civil cases, you've got malpractice cases, a lot of experts-driven, long cases. You've got personal injury cases where you may have some experts. Then you've got these more... where it's money relating to maybe real property or personal property where you're dealing with that, they're low on the totem pole.
That's what I figured.
Unfortunately. And
okay. So explain the rest of the case.
Yeah. So, but you do have options in those cases if you think that you could still get the same sort of justice with a judge versus a jury. The courts are beginning to do civil cases with judge trials. So in this case, it was a contractor homeowner dispute. Mm-hmm. I was actually representing the contractor. We had insurance defense counsel, myself, and then plaintiff's counsel. So three lawyers involved. It wasn't a significant amount in the way of controversy, but it's your run of the mill. You should have a few experts, should be able to get it done in a day or two. This particular case, the plaintiff didn't have any experts. The trial should have gone quicker than it did, but it is what it is.
Right.
You have everybody is on the WebEx product, so it's theoretically more secure than Zoom, I guess. That's what most of the courts are using.
Yeah.
And so the witnesses have to appear by video and phone or video with good service, so that good Wi-Fi, so that you have mm-hmm. good, crisp you can hear them basically
bandwidth
and see them.
Good.
Yep. Bandwidth is good. And then all the lawyers are present and the judge is on and he was present and you put them up just like you would a normal witness on the witness stand. They swear them in. And
well,
you
what
go
our founding fathers think,
you know, so I was sort of debriefing myself today about it. And it's having done a lot of these trials in person, you lose some of the interactions, the
sure.
interpersonal interactions.
Sure you do.
I mean, we're in studio. You see it mm-hmm. when you're on the radio with someone on the phone versus in person.
Oh, it's way different. It's partially why, I mean, I literally have all of the equipment, gear. Charlie knows this. I could literally sit at home in my office, do the show daily, no problem. I've got all of the equipment to make that happen, save myself the, you know, 30, 35 yep. minute drive down every day, one, you know, each way. So it's, you know, an hour plus. I could literally save that time, stay home, do the show. All the technology is there, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. You don't get the same interactions.
It's not the same.
And it's the similar thing in that setting with the court trial. And so I kind of came away this morning thinking about how it went, and we didn't get a verdict. The judge took all of the evidence under advisement and said he'd get us an order relating to it. So we may not have that decision for a month or two. But coming away from the experience, I thought, number one of the things that you have to think about is your witnesses and how they're going to be testifying. Are they going to be using a phone?
Right.
Are they going to be using a tablet? What are they going to be using? Because it changes how they look on the screen.
Sure.
And that changes how the judge is going to think of them.
Sure.
The other thing is with exhibits, you can have paper exhibits given to someone so that they can review it. But the way that a lot of us were doing it yesterday is you do a share screen with the exhibit electronically provided to everybody. And so it'd be up on the screen and then the people would be much smaller on the top.
Right.
And so then you can manipulate the exhibit a little bit. So that's sort of helpful. At the same time, the witness doesn't see the whole exhibit at the time. And sometimes you want them to see the whole, for example, the contract.
Sure.
You want to see that,
right.
Or you want to see bids, or you want to see other things that it just makes it a little bit more cumbersome. And so that's a little slower. You had people throughout the day that would fall off. Like my client, I had him in a conference because you can't have a phone and something else next to each other. So I had him in a conference room 50 feet away from me. I was in my office. So I was running back and forth during breaks, kind of talking with him. So it's not like the person sitting next to you taking notes, handing you something.
Right.
But under the circumstances, we got a trial done.
Better than nothing,
right.
I guess, right?
That's exactly right. And the client wanted to get it over with.
Wow.
And we just needed to get it taken care of. But that's where we're at. We're doing a lot of stuff virtually. We're doing a lot of motions hearings in the criminal side virtually, having officers appear. I had a motions hearing 2 weeks ago in which the officer was driving while he was testifying. And the court finally said, "Sir, are you driving?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to pick up my kids." You can't be testifying and driving at the same time. This is a police officer. So
that's
the court
good.
Had to instruct the officer to
pull over.
Over.
That's hilarious. That's really funny.
So that's another, one of those situations where...
Well, and in his defense, he probably didn't know any better.
Well, come on. I mean, you're right. But, I mean, it's distracted driving. I mean, he's holding his phone, right? I mean, maybe he had it in a holder.
True. Could have been.
Could have been. Let's hope that's the case. But, I mean, you could see behind his head, he was moving.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
So it's
hilarious.
It's that sort of stuff. People showing up normally would have had some sort of semblance of an outfit on.
Right, and they're not.
No.
Oh, my word.
No, lawyers included. I mean, it's amazing what people think they can get away with now that they're in.
That part I don't like.
Yeah, it's certainly
Folks, you can't
creating,
show up with your jammies on.
Right, you can't. Exactly.
You're still conducting business.
Or you can't show up to a court appearance when you're at work and you hear a bunch of stuff in the background.
Right.
Like, go somewhere where it's quiet. And people just don't have the same sort of sense of...
I'm guessing there's not the same respect level there because you're not in the courthouse.
It's different. Correct. Now, I have a lot of clients because we have an office set up and it's professional and they know that we're going to have good service and that they're going to be... I have most of my clients show up at my office, so we're sitting next to each other.
Makes it easier.
Which is much better. And it's one of those situations where that's what you want.
That's wild.
Yeah. But lots of people showing up on just phone calls and you have all kinds of background and people aren't muting their phone. Judges are getting better with it. So I think it's, for a lot of the preliminary stuff.
You think
some
of this will stay or will it go back?
No, I've had a judge tell me for sure in Adams County. He's very comfortable with it. He thinks it's much more efficient. And
get more stuff done that
gets
way.
More stuff done. The docket is shorter. The DAs aren't talking to their friends as much or the, defense bar. That there's just not as much chitty chat. There's stuff they're just rolling. And that's good.
Yeah, actually
because
it is.
Because
that
we need
stuff handled.
For the efficiency.
Make it efficient.
Yep. And if you don't have it efficiently done, then you just continue it for another day and away you go.
Okay.
It's been really interesting.
All right. So I got some questions for Kevin. We'll start when we get back. If you got questions for Kevin yourself, please call 303-477-5600. By the way, it doesn't matter. This is legal day. So whatever it is, call in. We'll get those questions answered. The only thing I ask is that, and we've done this before, as we get rolling along especially, if you can limit your question, to a question where we can move on and get the next question in so everybody's got some time to ask. And by the way, I'll let you know if there's somebody behind you or not. If there's no one else on the line and it's just you and you want to ask a couple of questions, sure, we'll do that. But in general, if you can just get a question in, make it quick. And by the way, we don't need every little gory detail about, the color of the dog's coat and whether it was changing color or whether he had just gotten trimmed or, just give us the overall, sort of that 1,000-foot view of what's going on so we can get you handled as quickly as possible. Now, when it comes to, and I'm going to ask this when we come back, some of the things I know a lot of you are going to think about and ask, gun rights. What happens on you know, raids and no-knock raids and who should you let in the door and what are your property rights? And there's all those questions that I know a lot of you are thinking. We'll get the conversation started with that as soon as we come back. So don't go anywhere. Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, folks. If you need something with a reverse mortgage or you've thought about it or don't even know what one is and you'd like to know more, give Bruce a call today. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
A Good Shop is next, and Al Sturm, in fact, I'm going to go by and visit Al here in the next few weeks, and a great shop, by the way. He's got three locations up in the northern part of town to really assist you if you've had a collision, and it's a good shop. Find him at klzradio.com, OEM specified repairs. That's how it works at a good shop, 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales, so in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding A Good Shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Kevin Flesch with us today from Flesch Law Firm. And by the way, that's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H. Spartacus, you're up first today. What's going on, sir?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It used to be in the old days for 4 years, if you don't pay, you don't stay. Now we got 10 months with people not paying. I just wonder what your thoughts are. If these people that have saved and worked and invested,
So everybody listening, in case you didn't hear what Spartacus is asking, if you're a landlord and you have not gotten paid and some of these moratoriums and things that have been put on, how are landlords going to get paid in the future? Kevin, it's all yours.
We're 10 months.
Yeah, 10 months. And the problem is the courts aren't even taking the lawsuits for the FED actions. They're not even accepting them. I don't know how that's going to work because Polis, that was one of the things I was kind of interested to see this week with Polis's updates as to what's going to happen with the loosening of restrictions. Why aren't they loosening that up as well? And I just don't know what's going to happen because obviously...
Quick comment. Biden wants to extend that another 6 months.
Yes.
And incredibly, people don't understand this, but landlords have bills to pay too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exactly where our politicians are taking they're making decisions about who's going to be the victors in these sort of situations based upon executive orders. And of course, these executive orders, at some point, someone's going to have to test it again, because the religious folks did, and they backed off of them pretty quickly when there were issues. We really need to have some landlords get together and do the same thing.
I'm suggesting that to a group of 500 here in the Springs that own about 3,000 properties collectively.
Yeah.
Because that may be the only thing to move Moss Center. I don't know.
I think it will be. I think that'll be the only way that they'll get it to get it moved. Completely agree with you.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah. No, good stuff, Spartacus. And by the way, great question. Something that actually I've tried to cover here in the past with some experts, and I've had some folks scheduled, but things just happened those particular days where those experts didn't come on, where we really wanted to discuss this. But yeah, that's a great question, because essentially you're taking money out of people's pockets in doing that.
Completely. It's a taking. I mean, you could be making the argument that it's a temporary taking of the benefits of the real property that you own, because that's exactly what it is. You're owning these apartment buildings with the expectation that you're going to be making revenue,
right,
and profits.
Well,
through rent.
The other thing that I see, just flip side of this, will be if this continues and they get another one of these in, like Biden's talking about. I think you know where I'm going with this, Kevin. Is where's the incentive down the road to own these kind of properties?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
Right?
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
Who are the landlords going to be down the road? Because if you can't get paid after owning one of these, why would you invest that money
again? That's right. That's exactly right. And there's investors in these REITs, and there's investors all over the place that are seeing those investments go down.
And by the way, folks, this doesn't mean that every landlord or building owner out there is a criminal or is some kind of a scumbag or whatever. No, these people in a lot of cases bought property. They may have mortgages on those properties. They've got bills to pay as well. Not everybody that owns a apartment building or a condo building or even a duplex, triplex is rolling in it. I mean, in some cases, some people might have went out on a limb and even mortgaged their own home to make this happen, to get into that investment end of things, and now they have no income coming in. That's not their fault.
No, not at all.
And they're not criminals.
Nope. And so it'll be interesting. And what I'm talking about with regard to the lawsuits is the pressure that's got to be put on these politicians so that they understand that aspect of what they've made the decision about. That's why we always get into these discussions about free market versus.
Right. And that is not free market, by the way.
It's not. It's just like what we see in other locations where they have a cap on rent and all of those sorts of things. It's politicians.
Rent moratoriums.
Yep. And politicians making a decision that they're going to get more votes from the folks that are paying rent than they are from the landowners. I mean, that's what other reason would a politician make those decisions? They can't say that it's for the benefit of society necessarily, because they're completely changing the balance of the bargain when you have two individuals who go into some sort of contract for a lease and anything else.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see with now that we have all of the Democrats in power, whether or not there's enough pressure put on the national side of it. Because maybe Polis, if they get pressure, will say, okay, we'll have the state try to help you somehow, and will there be then the feds helping the state out? But again, because they haven't really qualified, I don't think. I haven't looked at the PPP stuff as to whether or not landlords would fall into.
Ooh, I don't know.
Because
I have not looked either.
It's only related to employees. It's not related to.
Right. If you're a landowner with no employees, you get nothing.
You're not getting anything.
No, you're not getting a thing.
Yeah.
Great point. Okay. Yeah. Franktown Firearms coming up next, folks. And if you got a question for Kevin, please call 303-477-5600. Though, if you've got a question about buying a firearm, Franktown can help you. Last
yes.
I checked, the waiting period's about 4 days, right?
I just put in an application on Monday,
so
and they told
days.
Me 4 days.
Okay. So it's 4 days to get a gun. Get in, folks. Don't delay. It's going to get, I think, even bigger than that.
Yes.
Go to Franktown Firearms. Find them at klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, They consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we'll jump right to the phones. I got 2 minutes. Mike, you're up first. Go ahead, Mike. You're up.
Yes, I had a question, if I could, about reverse mortgages.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, you know, what the interest rates are and you know, how low you could get the interest rate on a reverse mortgage.
That's not really Kevin's world, but I can pretty much answer that one. They're going to be not far off of what a normal mortgage would be, Mike, because it's working off of the same premise. So right now, you're typically, depending upon you, credit, values, where you're at in the country and so on, in the high twos, low threes typically right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
That was my only question.
Does that agree? Okay, perfect, Mike. Thanks. That's a great question. And all right, Joe, we got a minute. What's going on, sir?
Hey, guys. I won't even ask how you're doing, but hey, Kevin, I assume you're familiar with the Contracts Clause of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10?
Yes.
Which states, and for those not familiar, no state may pass a law impairing the obligation of contracts,
right.
And in that context, the law can be statute, provision, ordinance,
executive order.
Right.
Yep.
So my question is, aren't all these executive orders saying, deferring rent, isn't that an interference?
Yes.
With the...
That's why I'm recommending somebody file suit and say that they violated not only the state but the federal constitution.
And they most likely, in that case, Joe, could win because they are.
They are.
Yeah, I think it's clear. Unless I was missing something, I thought, I'm not a lawyer, but I thought that was a clear violation of the contract.
My guess is, and I'll step in between both of you, my guess is that hasn't been done yet because somebody doesn't want to be the bad landlord with press all over the U.S. Am
I
right?
That's correct.
But
I mean,
if it's an organization, association,
they just have to have standing. So they actually have to have the ability to say that we're losing money because of this. So if there were a group, I mean, there's lots of large apartment owners, and I don't know why they haven't filed suit.
I think
to move
because
forward.
Of what I just said. They don't want to be that guy with the black eye in the press.
I guess.
Right?
I guess, but we need people to stand up
for
that.
I agree.
Because that's certainly something. And you can make all the arguments you want about all these poor people that can't make their rent. Well, then they need to figure something out relating to that because the rest of us are doing it just as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Agree. Fully agree. Good stuff, by the way, Joe, and I think you're spot on. I agree.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe, as always. I appreciate it very much. Always a great caller. I appreciate it. And good luck in New Jersey.
Yes.
Jersey. All right. We'll be back. We got another full hour coming your way. Again, if you got a question for Kevin, dial it up. We'll get you all set up and ready to go. Again, all I ask is please keep it to one question unless there's not somebody behind you, and I'll let you know whether there is or isn't. But you can ask a question. Kevin will get it answered. He is our legal eagle. He'll be with us all the way till 6. 303-477-5600 is the phone number. We'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Myself, Kevin Flesh, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.